who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And a good Saturday morning as we begin the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross here at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to be joined by the man himself, Michael Lombardi, back home in New Jersey. Happy Saturday morning, Michael. I'm buzzing out here in Las Vegas because I literally couldn't sleep thinking about UFC 276 tonight. We're going to get into that with Thomas Gable in hour number two, see how the books are handling that this morning. And Carl Johnson's going to join us down south later on this hour to talk all things USC, UCLA, and maybe even get into that hot dog eating contest a little bit. But, Michael, I ended the show yesterday by teasing that you and I were going to start the conversation today in your neck of the woods. And, you know, it's always interesting to me. I was born in New York, lived there for the first 10 years. I really didn't get the whole, like, South Philly thing with New Jersey and kind of had the Eagles kind of go into Jersey a little bit, right, as their team before
Not
you
a little.
Get a lot.
Not a little, David. Not a little. They own it. I mean, I think what you have to understand if you're watching this up in Boston or in Chicago on Marquee or in Baltimore, you know, and we welcome all those audiences as we celebrate the 4th of July. But I think what you have to understand about the great state of New Jersey is it's really two states, right? Mm. So from Trenton south, it's all Philadelphia.
Okay.
From Trenton north, it's all New York.
Okay.
And so if you live north of Trenton, you're usually some form of a Yankee, Giant fan, Met, Jet fan. There's all sorts of that combination. Rarely do you see a Yankee Met fan. I mean, those two things, Yankee Jet fan, those don't go together. But they might, you know, but everything North Jersey is pretty much New York. Everything South Jersey is pretty much Philadelphia. And as I traveled into work today, I counted at least 50 Eagle flags hoisted from the many homes here in the great city of Ocean City.
So they've already coronated this team, right? On this 2022,
they've done it before.
And they did it in
they've
2011.
Done it before.
We've seen it before.
They did it 11.
And what we're referring to is Miles Sanders. And look, I'm not getting on Miles Sanders for making this comment, Michael, but he did say, and I quote, "We feel like we're on an all-star team. We feel unstoppable. I'm not going to lie." Miles Sanders.
Well, I mean, he certainly can feel unstoppable because they haven't practiced. You realize now, David, I don't know if you know this, but the doctors, the team doctors of the Eagles informed Nick Sirianni that in order to stay healthy, let's just cut down. They've only had five practices this entire offseason. Mm. They've canceled the OTAs. They've canceled the minicamp. Like, they haven't practiced. And it was funny, this morning I was reading a quote by Peyton Manning, and he said that always the teams that I've been on, the best players practice the hardest. The Eagles don't want to practice. I mean, their doctors have informed the coaching staff that we're better off to stay healthy and to not practice. Okay, I get that, you know. However, football is a game requiring practice. It does. It's simple, but it does. It requires practice. It requires execution. It requires pad level. And there are going to be some injuries. You can't prevent them by not playing. And this is the mentality in Philly. See, what happened last year, so you understand this and the audience does, the Eagles, for the first time, they didn't have a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And so they felt like it was because they went to this new style of practice. When the Patriots went down there, the Patriots didn't change their practice schedule, but the Eagles modified theirs. So they would have a red day, which meant that was very light. They would have a yellow day, which meant that they would go a little, maybe an hour. And then their green day, which was full go, was their hour and a half, and that was it. And so this whole methodology being done by the analytical department and the medical department is what drove the Eagles. Now, when you watch them play early in the season, watch Fletcher Cox, watch a lot of their – they weren't in very good condition.
Right.
In fact, when I went to practice there that day, you could see they weren't in very good shape. Meanwhile, the Patriots are running gassers at the end of practice after their 2-hour and 15-minute practice, and the Eagles are standing there watching them.
The thing that fascinates me, Michael, and I know that I don't want this to come off as, you know, get off my lawn and old school football, but, you know, I remember the days very well. Say Marty Schott and I were back in Washington, D.C. running Oklahoma drills. I mean, we're talking early, and you know, two-a-days were just the norm. And now those have literally been outlawed by the NFL. I mean, down in Dallas, Mike McCarthy and company, they got fined for practicing too hard. We're talking about right now in 2022. So, Michael, as much as I want to kind of clown the new NFL a little bit, it's almost mandated by the league. So I don't know. I get it because they've extended the regular season now to 17 games. I think that they do believe exactly what you said, that there's a correlation to less practice equals less injuries. But it does lead to worse defense, at least early on in the year. So I wonder how this is all going to affect teams defensively once the season goes on. Maybe they get their sea legs, to your point, and in midseason, the defenses start to catch up. But is this a design by the NFL to have more offense? Because when you can't practice and when you're not physical, your defense cannot be up to snuff like the offense can. Because the offense can do everything in shells and no pads, and they can run everything they want to run. It's hard to emulate that defensively.
Well, it's hard to emulate great offensive line play too, though, David. Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge, you know. And so, you're only going to get one practice a week. I think they still have it at 14. I think it's at 15, even with the 17-game season, of one live padded practice. And you've got to get good at not practicing in pads. When I first started in the league in 1984, you know, I was awed by how Coach Walsh was able to practice his team very, very physically without many pads on. I mean, it was, he taught the team how to play and practice with pad level. I think what you see teams that decline as we hit the November month, we see teams decline because their pad level gets up. We see teams decline because they don't practice tackling. We've seen teams decline because they get further away from the actual practice of training camp. You know, the Eagles have taken a completely different approach. Now, you could say, well, they made the playoffs last year. Okay, great. They did. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Hats off to them. And I think they'll win 10 games this year. So for all the criticism that I'm going to lay on them, I still think their schedule is so soft they're going to. But when you analyze what they did last year to finish the season 9-9, counting the playoff loss, they didn't beat anybody. They did not beat one quality team. They played against six good quarterbacks if you count Brady twice. And the ball was only on the ground in those six games 36 times.
Oof.
Their defense only allowed 36 incompletions in those six games. Now, you know, it's great. You know, you beat, you know, the Raiders beat them 33-22.
Right.
I mean, the Raiders put 442 yards on them with no problem. I mean, there were games where the Eagles actually won the turnover takeaway advantage and they didn't win the game. So for that situation, you know, as you raise your level of play, you've got to be able to match it come playoff time. This is one of my biggest pet peeves is most coaches think their job is to get the team ready for just the regular season. But your job really is to get your team ready for the regular and postseason. And I'm not sure the Eagles are a postseason team. I think they were the Utah Jazz before they traded Rudy Gobert, a really good regular season team that once playoff comes around, because of their quarterback Jalen Hurts and his inability to throw the football, they're not going to be a great postseason team.
It sounds a little bit like you're describing last year's Green Bay Packers as well. Great regular season team, then one and done in the postseason. You mentioned this year you think they're a 10-win team. The over-under right now is set at 9.5, minus $1.15 if you want to take the over 9.5.
I mean, it's hard to find 9 losses. I mean, they open up really okay. I mean, they open up in Detroit. Last year they beat Detroit 44-6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they go to the Minnesota comes into Philly at the Link, opening day at the Link. Be a hard game. That'll be a back-and-forth game. We're really going to get an idea about Jonathan Gannon's defense, about where he is, how he's adapted his defense. I mean, early in the year last year, I mean, we saw Dallas just move the ball up and down the field. The Chiefs put 471 yards on them. The Raiders put 442. I mean, the Chargers put 445. I mean, whenever they played against a good quarterback, they couldn't stop them. So that's going to be a hard game. They go down to Washington to play the Commanders and the great Carson Wentz, his left-handed throwing ability. We'll see it then. So, you know, and then we come back and play the Jags and the Doug Peterson game. Doug Peterson comes back to
revenge
see his
game.
Statue. Yes, and he can take a picture in front of his statue as a visiting coach. So, I mean, it's kind of an easy schedule to start the season.
It is. I love that with the Doug Peterson and the Philly special and I believe Bud Lights who did that statue there.
Dave, you cannot go into a bar in the Philadelphia area without seeing the Philly special drawn on some of the wall. You just can't. I mean, it's going to live in infamy.
And I guess it should, right? Because it helped them win that Super Bowl. And Doug
it
Peterson
did.
Should get full credit for that with Nick Foles.
Nick Foles actually said, let's run Philly special. Why not, you know?
So maybe the statue should be for Nick Foles.
He's got one too. Don't get me right. He's the only guy who doesn't have a starting job who's got a statue. I mean, that's hard to find.
You finally win one Super Bowl, which the Eagles finally do have. That's the one and only one they have. I guess you're going to get those statues. I want to get into deeper, certainly, when you look at the division odds. And this has changed a lot, Michael. And we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about the Eagles as we go on with this show. Because I felt like before the draft, the Cowboys were still the favorite to win the division. The Cowboys are still the favorite, by the way, to win the division. But nobody's repeated as divisional champions in the NFC since 2003. And it's now 2022. Now, I don't know, that's just an anomaly, but that is 2 decades, Michael. And then you look at the Eagles now, they feel like the chic pick at plus $1.90. Could have got a better price tag before the draft. And I think that's because people like what the Eagles did in the draft. And then the A.J. Brown trade happened, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming. I know I didn't see that coming on draft day. So very quickly, and we got more time after the break as well. But Michael, when you look at that trend for teams not to win the East, if it's not Dallas to repeat, and it hasn't happened in 2 decades, does it have to be the Philadelphia Eagles, or could there be a surprise from the Commanders and or G-men?
Well, I can't see it on the G-men. I really can't. I'm not buying into Daniel Jones. I mean, if Carson Wentz turns into the 2017 version of Carson Wentz, which we haven't seen in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since his quarterback touchdown run against the Rams when he injured that knee, he's not been the same player. He really hasn't.
Right.
You know, and I was a huge fan. I thought he should have won the MVP then. And I was buying into Wentz until I watched him. Each year, he just seems to be able to have a disconnect with his team and a disconnect with protecting the football with his insistence on throwing it left-handed, especially when it comes crunch time. I mean, he's truly the Ricky Fowler of the NFL, and we can talk after the break.
I was going to say this. I hope Wes Reynolds is not listening right now, because if he hears you mention Carson Wentz with the left-handed pass against Tennessee, Wes is not sleeping well right now on a Saturday morning. I can tell you that. All right, Michael, let's do a deeper dive on those Eagles and the NFC East when you come back with us. Just getting it started. It's the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Be selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started. Where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's top horse racing plays from Express Bet analyst Jeff Siegel, both from Churchill Downs. In the fourth race, Jeff likes number three, Dreamlot, at 5-1. And in the seventh race at Churchill, Jeff has number eight, Kuchar, at 5-1. You can wager on these races and more at First Bet, the preferred horse racing app of VSiN. If you sign up today using the code Vegas22, you can get $100 in free bets. So go to VSiN.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans. That's VSiN.com/horses. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, talking all things NFC East to kick off this show today on a Saturday morning. And Michael, I said to our producer, Stephen Bond, in the break, I look up at the NFL Network because we got all the monitors on here at South Point, and I said, I might cry because I look up and I see Tom Landry talking to a rookie, Troy Aikman, and then they show Gil Brandt. And as a long-time Cowboy fan, it just feels good to relive those glory days. And I go, wait a minute. Aren't the glory days supposed to be now? But everybody's telling me the Eagles are going to be maybe the team to beat here in 2022. And, you know, I know you like the Eagles draft. And this is why the number has moved dramatically to where the Cowboys were the small favorite to win the East at -$1.25. And now they're plus money because the Eagles have been shorted. Jordan Davis is a huge human being. What, he goes about 6'6", 325. Michael's going to clog up the middle for the Eagles. That's kind of an old school D tackle that you don't see a lot anymore. And then they get A.J. Brown on the draft day trade. Is that the reason why to you that people are just enamored, and they should be, I think, with what Nick Sirianni and what the front office did in the offseason to fortify the defense that you said was really a problem late in the year last year?
Well, I think the defense certainly it got fortified, especially when you break down. They also get the kid Dean from Georgia in the third round.
Yeah.
And people were worried about his bicep and whether he can play. You know, their linebacking play last year was not very good. But I think a lot of the Eagle luster love and infatuation is really stemmed to their scheduling. I mean, last year they played a soft schedule. They won 9 games, lost 9. you know, and this year they have a very soft schedule. I mean, you know, when you look at a schedule as a bettor, as a handicapper, and not as a fan, you have to evaluate how many good quarterbacks do you play against.
Yes.
And what are your records against those quarterbacks? Because that's the true test of your talent, of your team. When you go play the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, and you beat them, you're a good team. You just don't beat them. You just don't beat them with luck, right?
Right.
And so when you line up the quarterbacks, so Kirk Cousins is going to be a tough one, right? We don't know about Trevor Lawrence. You know, the Kyler Murray, we'll see where that goes. Prescott's one of the, you know, really good. Steelers, mm-hmm. no quarterback. Texans, Davis Mills, okay. You know, the Colts, they got Matt Ryan better. Now you got Matt Ryan and you got Aaron Rodgers, okay. You know, Ryan Tannehill. Now you got the Giants, Bears, Cowboys against Saints, Giants. That's pretty easy to end the season. There's no quarterbacks there. So I think that's one of the reasons why the handicappers and the betting public is on the Eagles on the over number because of that. They don't face that murderous row of like the Denver Broncos who see Mahomes twice, who see Derek Carr twice, who sees Justin Herbert twice. You don't see that. So I think this is why. And I think and of course, naturally, here in Philadelphia, an inch goes a mile. And so when there's a little bit of love, it's going to go a long way. I mean, you know, it just is the way it, you know, it's just kind of the enthusiasm here. It carries over often into the next thing. And people all of a sudden go from not being just good. I mean, they've forgotten they were behind 31-0.
Right.
In the third quarter of that playoff game. It's just it has been completely forgotten that they weren't even in that game.
That's amazing to me because, you know, I think of Philadelphia and I affectionately call it the city of brotherly shove. And that, like, I think of, you know, beating Santa Claus. And I think of, like, you know, the fans always being negative. And to hear that they're up about this football team, even as disastrous an ending as it was last year, I guess, Michael, that's Nick Sirianni, year number one. After the disastrous press conference, they go all the way to the postseason. Right now they're 12-1 to win the NFC, only, you know, plus $1.90 to win the East. I think that's a fair bet. I'm with you on the over. I think that's the only way you can play it. I've said it on this network. The reason why I like the over, Michael, is I look at the rest of the division, and if Daniel Jones is the best they have in New York, good luck. If Dak Prescott gets hurt in Dallas, well, okay, Cooper Rush was good in the short term last year, but I don't think you want to try that long term. And I look at the Eagles, if Jalen Hurts isn't the answer, Gardner Minshew's a guy that can go in there and probably pick up the pieces, and you don't lose that much if he comes in. I actually like Jalen Hurts. I think this could be, obviously, it's a prove-it year for him. Does it all come down to Jalen? Because I like the body of the roster of the 53. Maybe a little bit more than some after the draft and certainly after the trade of A.J. Brown.
Well, I think it does all come down to Jalen Hurts. The concern is, can he throw the football? He hasn't demonstrated that in his entire career. Just being fair, he hasn't demonstrated. I mean, they were 32nd in passing attempts last season, right? You know, he doesn't throw the ball when you have to throw the ball. The key to being successful, the key to being a great team, is you can throw the football when the other team knows you have to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You can run the ball when the other team knows you have to run the ball. And Hurts is not a instinctively timed passer. He is a rhythmic thrower. He has to run play action pass, hard play action, or RPOs. And this is why they made the move for A.J. Brown, because A.J. Brown can run short routes and then yards after the catch. This is where they're hoping to get their offense. It's no different than signing Tyreek Hill in Miami. Many people think they signed Tyreek Hill to give him the vertical outside passing game. Well, he'll be waiting for that ball to get to him from Tua. I mean, he's going to have to fair catch it if it gets there. But what Tyreek Hill can do is catch a slant and turn it into a 6-yard gain, into a 60-yard touchdown. And A.J. Brown can break tackles, and he can make plays when he's in a crowd, because he's always in a crowd. He's got great balance, he's got great hands, and he's hard to tackle. When you go play A.J. Brown, you don't ask yourself, can I cover him first? You ask yourself the question, can I tackle him? That's the hard thing to do with A.J. And Hurts can throw these RPOs. So I give the Eagles credit for matching the receiver to the quarterback. But at some point, you have to have a drop-back pass game. At some point in a game, you're going to have to convert a 3rd-and-8 to keep the ball or to continue a drive. And can he do that? I don't know. I don't see it. It has never happened yet. I mean, his quarterback, he's not a top 20 quarterback.
Right.
What team makes a long run into the playoffs without a top 20 quarterback? Well, you could say the Baltimore Ravens won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, and he wasn't a top 20 quarterback. Okay.
That year, but he did that
year. I'm not sure I'm not sure he wasn't a top 20 quarterback that year, David, right? I mean, you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
And their defense is much better than Philly's defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Again, you're really, historically, you're hard-pressed to find a Super Bowl winning team. That's why 28-1, I know the number seems like it's enticing there, because I do think they're a live player to win the East, and I do think a long shot at 12-1 to win the division is not necessarily throwing away your money.
But let's circle back to Why is everybody so down on Dallas, right? So
yeah.
I think that's a fair question to ask. I mean, and
no
you're
doubt.
A Cowboy fan. And why is everybody so down on Dallas? And is it because Amari Cooper left? Look,
well,
let's be clear about Amari Cooper.
You walked me off the ledge on Amari Cooper, Michael. Seriously, because I went, wait, they're going to give away Amari Cooper for a sixth-round pick? But you made the point. For a guy that maybe doesn't want to be there all the time, maybe his first love isn't football, to pay him $20 million guaranteed going forward, the Cowboys just couldn't pick up that price tag.
Well, and add the other thing. The Cowboys finally figured out he hates cold weather.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't want to play in cold weather. He takes himself out of the game in cold weather.
That's right.
Now he's going to Cleveland, and I'm sure he knows that, you know, they have a lot of margaritas in November, and they have sunny days in Cleveland. And Lake Erie is delightful.
It's beautiful this time of year.
In November. I mean, it's so tropical there in November. It's really one of the most magnificent vacation spots you can go to in November, December. It's brilliant. It really is. And I'm sure Amari's going to enjoy it. He'll be right next to that heater the entire time. So I didn't see Amari as a losing cause because, you know, I think that if Gallup can be healthy and C.D. Lamb and, look, whether James Washington or Noah Brown give him some element, you know, Dalton Schultz is still going to be the guy they throw the ball to. So I think they'll be, you know, this is a good team. Now, I think losing Randy Gregory the way he played last year was really tough. Now, they got to hope Fowler can do that. Now, you know that Dan Quinn stood on the table to bring Fowler in there. He had him in Atlanta with them. Mm-hmm. I'll get him to play. I'll get him to make more plays. Sam Williams, the kid they drafted in the second round, has got to come through for them. But to me, I think when you look at the Cowboys, the only concern I have is at the end of the year, this defense wasn't as good as it was earlier in the year.
I'm right there with you. I think, you know, the Cowboys win totals come down, and certainly with the Eagle love coming up, that total you've seen around 10.5. I've seen some 10s out there in the market as well, which is intriguing to me. But it really does come down to Dak's health. I don't question Dak's ability. I question his health now, Michael, because this is 2 years in a row that, you know what I like to say, you know, when he's super Dak, the Cowboys are tough to beat. When he's average Dak or injured Dak, they're very easy to beat. So to me, that running game is predicated on it. It feels like if Dak's not there for play action, you know, you take away that element and all of a sudden they stuff 21, who I think is the highest paid fullback in the NFL, you know, right now in Ezekiel Elliott. Let's see if Zeke's in shape this year too. There are a lot of question marks there. In the offensive line, as much as it's been a stalwart through the years, they're getting banged up and they're getting older too with Tyron Smith and that knee injury. You got to hope that O-line stays healthy. They drafted a kid out of Tulsa in the first round. I'm just hoping, Michael, that all things are that go well, this is easily a 10-win football team or 11-win, but there are a lot of things that could go wrong.
Well, you hit it, and we'll hit it back on the break. We got Carl. But I think that offensive line is the reason they lost to San Francisco. Connor Williams couldn't block him. He couldn't block him. He killed him. That's why they draft Tyron Smith. And Tyrod Smith can't stay healthy.
No.
They're not getting 17 games out of Tyrod Smith.
I'm with you on that. We're going to finish breaking down the NFC East when you come back with us right here in the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Lombardi Line here on VSiN. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. He is in New Jersey. I am here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Going to have Carl Johnson join us next from Biloxi, Mississippi in the next block. Can't wait to talk to Carl. And I was just talking with Steven, and he said that you'd really like to do a show down there in Biloxi with Carl. And I think that'd be a great idea. I mean, I know Patrick has got seniority in the show, but they should send you guys down there, Michael. That'd be a fantastic remote. Michael Lombardi, Carl Johnson at the Biloxi in Mississippi. I know I'm watching that show.
Well, I would love to go spend some time with the great Carl Johnson, bring our boy Bill Berman down there, Patrick, and the great Stephen Bond,
there
too.
But
I'm afraid we might gain 50 pounds by the time we leave town. I'm afraid we might be rolling us back here to New Jersey. I mean, every time I turn around, my man's got something else cooking up down there. And you know, the thing about Carl, he's a little, you know, he can span the globe. Like, he's just not like, I mean, I'm a little locked in on certain food groups. Carl can go in any direction he needs to go to find it. So It's pretty impressive. But look, BetMGM's been a great host of our show. They've been a great sponsor to our show. And that they tell me that that's an incredible venue down there in Biloxi, as it is in with Thomas Gable at the Borgata here in Atlantic City. So we appreciate BetMGM tremendously.
Absolutely. We'll find out what Carl is cooking in the next segment coming up, because you know he's got something going for this holiday weekend. Let's get back to the NFC East. You know, a couple of people on our network that I really respect and love listening to, that'd be Tim Murray and Sean King Knightley here in the nightcap on VSiN. And I know those guys, they like the Commanders this year, because we've been talking a lot about the NFC East, and obviously the Cowboys are the favorite, but it is plus money. The Eagles are kind of the chic pick right now at about a plus $1.90 out there. The Commanders at 5-1. Now, I'm trying to get there with those guys, and I'm trying to be as objective as possible.
I have a hard time with you.
As a guy who covered that team for almost two decades, and I go, clearly it's not just me, because they haven't won since I left in 2013. And I look at it and I go, okay,
well,
Carson.
I mean, look, David, when did they haven't won since this guy's owned the team? They're 151, 212, and 3 since the Schneider's owned the team. I mean, they've only been to, I think, the playoffs six times. I mean, they've never really advanced. I mean, he's taken a franchise that had banners hanging.
Oh, boy.
And you can't find the banners. So, like, and I'll say this to finish this, to me, why I think both of us can't get behind it is one of the untold secrets of the NFL is, and I think he's a wonderful man. I think Ron Rivera is a great human being. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this as an attack on his character, but he's had three winning seasons as a head coach in 11 years. You can't deny this.
Right.
Right. He's not been above 500 eight out of 11 seasons. Now, he went 15-1 one year, which is remarkable. Great year. Okay. But in that year, he challenged calls on the field 17 times, and he won 10. Now, if he doesn't win those 10 challenges, does he win 15 games? I don't know. But he had the great Cameron Newton, as my grandson Dino calls him, the Cameron Newton, you know. And Cameron was playing really good then.
MVP. And he was the MVP of the league.
Yeah. And so, like, what's the formula? When Ron has won three times in those 11 seasons, he's had Cameron Newton play great.
And that's the thing. Can Carson Wentz, you know, we talk about it with Dak. He's got to stay healthy in Dallas. And certainly Jalen Hurts has got to have that breakthrough year in Philadelphia for those teams to achieve what they think they can. It really does kind of come down to Carson Wentz. And look, I get it. You know, I heard the way that people were talking about the upgrade over Taylor Heineke. I thought, boy, they're just burying Taylor Heineke. And I'm not, you know, sitting here saying Taylor Heineke should be the guy. But if this is like, this is supposed to be to the next level with Carson Wentz, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I love the fact as a Cowboy fan, he's back in the NFC East. That, like, makes my day. Yeah. I'm glad he's back. You want to play against Carson Wentz right now. So can he?
The way he is, yeah.
Yeah, can you figure it out with that guy? Because if Frank Reich couldn't do it in Indy, I don't know how you do it in D.C.
I can't. And to me, if I'm in Washington, I'm saying when I traded for this guy, what does Frank Wright know that I don't know about him? Because Frank Wright has gone on the table. He's gone to the mattresses twice to get quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He wanted Phillip Rivers in the worst way. And Chris Ballard, his general manager, said, no problem. I'll get you Chris. I'll get you. We got him. For 1 year, we'll get him. And then he retired. And then he went to the mattresses again and cost you a first-round pick. And they felt so indifferent to Wentz after the season.
Right.
That it was universal. It wasn't just Jim Irsay not liking the player. It was universally within the building. They knew they had to get rid of him. He was creating a toxic environment within their building. And if Frank Wright can't handle him, who loves him, then what makes me believe that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner can? This is where I have a problem being like Sean and Tim getting behind Washington. I have a real problem there. Now, the law of averages say that, you know, once every 3 years or 4 years, Ron Rivera has a good year. Well, now he's due for it. I know he made the playoffs 2 years ago, but that does it really count? Does it really count when you go 7-9 and make the playoffs? I mean, seriously.
We'd like to forget that year. Yeah, that year was just an abomination in the NFC East.
I mean, so I want to see, you know, now I think they're weaker in the offensive line. I mean, they just signed Terry McLaurin to a huge contract, right? And I think Terry McLaurin's a really good player. But he has one of the lowest percentage of catches on balls thrown to him of any receiver in the National Football League. It's not his fault. But think about that. What we don't talk enough about is the percent of catches of balls thrown to you. For example, Hunter Renfrow at the Las Vegas Raiders led the National Football League in 82% when the ball was thrown to him.
Wow.
He caught it 82% of the time.
Whew.
Meanwhile, McLaurin's at 51% of the time.
Those are astounding numbers. Numbers.
And I'm not saying, and this is not always on the receiver. This is more on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, you say, well, you know, he got a better quarterback this year. No, timeout. If you go through the Indianapolis Colts team last season, if you just study their team and go through their team and you look at their receiving and you look at their catch radius, there's not one player that played outside receiver that had above a 60%. Michael Pittman caught 68.2% of the balls. That's not good enough.
Mm.
That's the only guy, and he was targeted 129 times. He had 88 catches. So Wentz has a hard time getting you the ball.
Yeah, and I look at it too, Michael. And again, we all know what's going on in Washington D.C. with the owner, the embattled owner, Dan Snyder. And you know, we talk about atmosphere. And some people go, well, in the handicap, I'm going to block that out and just look at the 53. You really can't block that out in D.C. There, it's a toxic culture up there right now as well. And I do think sometimes, as much as the players and the coaches want to block it out, they hear it too. So it really is hard for me to get behind this team to rebound and win the NFC East at 5-1. The Giants are the other team that I look at and I go, okay, I'm not huge on Danny Dimes. But, you know, I do like Brian Daboll, and I do like what they've tried to do now in the front office. So I understand, Michael, a little bit, while people might be taking a dart throw in this team and saying, all right, can Daboll go do with Danny Dimes what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo? And I that's a really tough ask.
You can't draw that line. Cannot draw that line because Josh Allen is so more talented. I mean, Danny Dimes, when you really watch and study him, I mean, he struggles to play fast. He struggles on third down. He struggles to really protect the football. And I think when you really look at him and you see what he's done over his career, he's had 38. The best game he's played in his career, David, is when he came in off the bench against Tampa as a rookie. Yeah. That was the best game he's had. He never gets the ball down the field. His average per attempt is at 6.3. That is remarkably bad. Remarkably bad. That's just not bad. That's remarkably bad. And so he doesn't get the ball down the field, you know, and he's not able to protect the football. He's had 37 fumbles in 38 games.
Oof.
It's one a game.
The game, and look, I know it's been memed on social media, but the 2020 game against the Eagles in Philadelphia was running in for the touchdown, and the turf monster gets them. And by the way, they were held to a field goal on that drive, and they ended up losing by a field goal. So it's like those type of non-athletic winning plays for a quarterback that looks athletic. It looks like he should be Josh Allen.
He is athletic. He is athletic.
But he's just not big. He's not big like a Josh Allen, right? So you can't run him like Josh Allen.
No, he doesn't have that bulk.
Right.
And he's not durable. I mean, you know, look, you know, he missed two games in 2020. He missed a bunch of games last year. Can he stay healthy? I don't know. You know, but look, I mean, he's not had, if you want to make a case and defend him, he's not had the best coaching in the league, right? Jason Garrett's offense was atrocious. It was horrible. And, you know, Brian Daboll will help that. Mike Kafka, the new offensive coordinator, will help that. The offensive line coach, Johnson, will help that too. I think they'll be better coached on offense. Will they have enough to be able to make a dent? I don't think so. I think their problems, look, this team has won 22 games in the last 5 years. And here's what's remarkable about the New York Football Giants is they're in cap hell. So not only did they not win any games, they overpaid for every player on their team. Like, they've overpaid for every player on their team. You can't, you know, it's one thing to be bad. The Utah Jazz might be bad next year, but they'll have cap room.
They will.
The Oklahoma City Thunder was bad last year, but they had tons of, it's one thing to be bad, but you can't be bad and overspend. Those two things get you fired.
Absolutely. I'll tell you this. The other thing about this division, very quickly to put a capsule on it, three of the four quarterbacks might not be here next year. Jalen Hurts could be gone.
That's
Danny
true.
Dimes could be gone.
That's true.
And certainly Carson Wentz in D.C. All right,
when
we come back, we're going to go down to Biloxi, Mississippi and join Carl Johnson. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Who will be be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started. Where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in the octagon with BetMGM, and you can win $200 for a $10 wager on the main event in Las Vegas tonight. Just use the bonus code VSIN200. If the champ lands a punch in the fight, you're going to win $200 back in free bets. Simply download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the promo code VSIN200. Bet $10 on the mega fight everybody's been waiting for. And if the champ lands a punch in the fight, you're going to claim a $200 payday. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Back here on the Lombardi Line, and what a UFC 276 that should be tonight, with two title bouts on the line tonight, and of course, Hall of Famers up and down that card. We'll talk about a little bit more about that in the second hour, but right now, it is time to bring in the pride of Biloxi, Mississippi. He is Carl Johnson, the Race and Sportsbook Director at Beau Rivage down in Mississippi. Carl, it's great to be joined by you and Michael today. I look forward to doing the show so I can talk to Michael, and then when you come on the show, it's just an added bonus. So happy 4th of July weekend to you, and let's start off right where we kind of, Mike and I talked a little bit yesterday about college football and the chaos, because I know you're down there in Biloxi and SEC country. Is this now an arms race that the SEC looks at the Big Ten and says, okay, we see your USC and your UCLA. Are they going to up the ante? Is this going to keep escalating?
Wow, yeah. Hey, good morning to both of you guys. Good to talk to you, Dave. Follow you on Twitter. Love you. Of course, everybody knows I love The Godfather. We got the great Bill Berman behind me there. And so, look, this college
football. Well, let's take a second here. Carl, let's just take a second and explain what's going on behind you there. So every year here in Ocean City, we have a 4th of July parade that starts at, you know, we have three bridges that enter the town. And the one bridge called the Longport Bridge, that's where Bill and I, we live near that bridge. And so the parade starts at that bridge, obviously. Berman, you know, cuts the ribbon so we can start the parade. And then he dresses, everybody dresses their bikes up and they all wear, they were with the colors of our country to honor the 4th of July. And so that's where that picture comes from. And it, and the bike parade goes right by my house. So that's unfortunately awesome. I'm always here working, so I can't watch the parade, but you know, he handles everything. So that's why we have that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, this guy, both of these guys are just unbelievable. They have a lot of fun. I mean, the housing cost in their neighborhood, just because they live in it and have so much fun, yeah, it's got to be sky high. But look, yeah, so this college football, you know, look, I really believe that we're witnessing something here in our time. I mean, you're seeing either a new star cluster born or you're seeing a black hole gobbling up sports as we know it. I mean, you know, before this is all said and done, when USC and UCLA make their move, you know, I think in 2024, I mean, think about this. You're going to have 32 teams within the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, that's NFL stuff there. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, there's going to be a point in time where, you know, I think we're going to see where you stop calling these things conferences and they're going to become a league, just like the NFL did. Very interesting, yeah, times. You know, they are totally redefining Division I football as we know it. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about, too, you know, USC and UCLA, they're pulling out of the Pac-12 there. You know, that's one of the biggest markets in the world where they live, and now they're going to be able to hang that Big Ten banner there. I mean, that's hundreds of millions of dollars leaving that Pac-12.
There's no doubt. But here's the problem, Carl. Even though they're in Los Angeles and it's one of the greatest markets, the UCLA Bruins don't draw anybody to their games. I mean, when they play SC, they do, but they typically don't. So nobody goes out to Pasadena to watch them. And this is all a reflection of the Pac-12 television network. I mean, they've really failed the teams in the Pac-12. There hasn't been enough money generated from that TV deal, like the Longhorn Network or like the Southeast Conference or even the ACC. I mean, this is a very difficult time. This is a great opportunity for the Big 12 to kind of reevaluate themselves. They lost Texas. They've lost Oklahoma out of the Big 12, but now they can come back. I mean, Washington and Oregon are huge properties, yeah, with huge fan bases and a lot of money invested into their programs. Now, they can do that, or the Pac-12's got to bow their neck and figure out how they're going to do it. And it's all related to television. It's, mm-hmm, let me ask you this question, Carl. Do you ever show Pac-12 games? Do you subscribe to the Pac-12 network?
You know, we just talked about this the other night on the pod. Interesting enough, we do not have the Pac-12 network.
Wow.
You know, and look, if you think about the time frame where we're at, you know, we normally catch those games at, you know, anywhere from 9:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. So from the better standpoint, that's their last out. You know, if they're chasing for the day, it gives them a game where they can, you know, go all in on or try to get their money back, whatever they're going to do. But we don't have any call for it. You know, that time of the night, you know, we're cleared out. Nobody wants to see the Pac-12. It's a very interesting scenario. But, no, we do not have the Pac-12 package.
You know, Carl, it's interesting to me, and again, something Mike and I talked a little bit about yesterday, too. You're down there in Biloxi, Mississippi. I have to assume that the bettors down south, their eyes light up, say, in a bowl matchup, when you would get a Pac-12 team against maybe an SEC team, and they go, well, that's the soft Pac-12, and they're going to play real football now against us. Will this toughen up some of those quote-unquote softer teams now they go to the Big Ten, and maybe you won't get that betting advantage at the end of the year in a bowl game scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, look, these teams are making their moves to these other conferences based on their recent play. I mean, you know, you're not going to have, I guess if we were in a different time right now, the SEC wouldn't be looking to recruit Vanderbilt football. You know what I'm saying? They just wouldn't. So these teams that are going to be moving into these conferences, they're going to have to play. I mean, they're moving in with the big boys right now as we know it today. Look, it might create some better action. I'll be honest with you, the last couple of years, the Saturday slates, you know, have been, a little bit disappointing. We're an SEC country down here, so our games that we watched, you know, the people love, but to be honest, the slate has been a little weak on Saturdays, and maybe this will improve it.
You know, I think if one thing I would do if I were the Pac-12, I would try to get Gonzaga to come into the conference just in basketball alone. That would be my first move. And if you can get Gonzaga in there, you've enhanced you've made the Pac-12 better right there. And then I would try to find a way to get maybe some of those other teams. Certainly, you got to get BYU in the Pac-12, right? You got to get BYU because BYU and Utah, that's a known rivalry. He might even try to get, you know, some other Big 12 team to come with you, Texas Tech, for example, which I doubt you could do that. But for me, I think those are the moves they've got to make. They're good in basketball. You know, and they're able to, but they need that marquee basketball. Mm. Well, losing UCLA in basketball is huge for them.
Yeah.
And they got to get it back.
Yeah. Michael, let me ask you a question. You know, like Notre Dame plays ACC basketball, but they're independent in football. You know, I was thinking about this. What happens, you know, with these schools moving around like this? Let's just say that you have a top echelon hockey program in the country and you come down to the SEC. Hell, they can't even spell hockey in the SEC. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. But Notre Dame's never given up their TV. Notre Dame is – they have their own network. They have the NBC network. They got Paul Burmeister and Doug Flutie doing their games. They're making all their revenue from that. And so they're never going into a conference in football. Why would they want to share that revenue? Unless it really meant that they were going to benefit from it. And I don't see how that could be. So Notre Dame is always going to be independent, but they can't do that in basketball, so they shifted right into the ACC, and now their athletic department is funded tremendously by the ACC basketball money and the NBC football money. This is, to me, Gonzaga's great opportunity, and if you're the Pac-12, you got to go get Gonzaga, and Gonzaga needs to go because Gonzaga has proven that you can play tough opponents in November, but you're not really ready for March. Not ready for March.
That's spot on, gentlemen. We only have a minute to go, and I got to ask Carl right now, what's on the menu? Because we know what's on the menu at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's all the hot dogs you can eat. Very quickly, Joey Chestnut, the over-under is 74.5. It's juiced to the over, -140. In 10 minutes, can he eat 75 hot dogs, Carl?
Yeah, I think he goes to 80. You know, he's been running a little tournament to himself every 6 days with a cleanse. I mean, it's unbelievable the detail. But he went that line went from 73.5 to 74.5, -140 on the over. I like him to go over.
And very quickly, what's on the menu?
We're going to do a Mississippi pot roast tonight. And then to Monday, we're going to do some boiled crawfish. I know you guys don't eat that, but we're going to boil some crawfish and boil some shrimp.
Speaking of entertaining follows, Michael, it's Jick Jack Johnson on Twitter. He's fantastic. Carl.
He covers the globe. He spans the globe for you.
He absolutely does. Happy 4th of July weekend to you, sir. Really a pleasure
Thanks,
to
Carl.
Have you back on the show. Come
Take
on
care.
Back. It's the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.